Let us bow our head and let's just pray. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you. We know everything that we have, even our health, our strength today comes from you. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit works in our life this morning. Open our heart, open our mind. And when we receive the word of God, let you strengthen us. Let you correct us if there is anything wrong in our life. And let you guide every single steps that we take every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, church. It's a wonderful, what an opportunity. To be honest with you, I rarely preach in English, so I'm a bit nervous this morning. But I come to Singapore maybe 3 or 4 times a year, and most of the time, I always come to this church, right? I always sit among you, spies on this church, and I think you have a wonderful church. I love it. Every time I come here, I love the environment. I still remember during COVID, the service wasn't here, I remember, but I shook hands with Pastor Isaac for the first time, and it was wonderful. And you guys are very, very fortunate to have this church, to grow together as a family. And we just wish we can plant something like this church in Indonesia. You know, it's just a dream. So this morning, yes, I'm in the work marketplace. I held the position as president director, but I also serve as head of youth. I think youth is a solution for everything, right? Youth is solution for our family. If we have a good youth, we know our family have a good future. If you want to see how good is the country is, you see the demography. And if the demography have big youth, people say, wow, this country have a huge future, right? So it's everything. Church, if you go to church, you see a lot of youth. Wow, the future of this church is going to be great, right? But if you see, you come, there's no youth. Youth is, you know, low energy. This church is in trouble. So I feel we need to build youth in everywhere we go, like in our country, in our church, in our family. We need to invest in them, and they're going to be the future of everything. And this morning, I'm going to bring the word of God from Numbers 13 and 14. So for those of you who brings a Bible, please open up Numbers chapter 13 and 14. I'm not going to read every single one of them. They're long chapters, but please open it up. I'm going to refer to some verses in there. And why do I want to bring message from Numbers 13 and 14? Because these chapters has been, God has talked to me and strengthened me through these chapters in the past 3 years. In the beginning, it was just a daily reading for me. I was reading Numbers, and then God talked to me directly through this Numbers 13 and 14. And there's a lot of message that God puts in my heart, and I implemented it and becomes my strength today. That's why I want to bring it today, and I want you all to also kind of absorb it and makes it a message that we can implement in our life. So the background of the story of Numbers 13 and 14 is this, right? Once upon a time, right? Once upon a time, the Israelites were living their lives in Egypt, right? Joseph brought the Israelites, the Israel people came because there was a big drought. So Joseph brought all the Israelites to the Egypt, and they lived happily ever after in Egypt, right? Joseph was a national hero. He was number two man in Egypt. And wow, and the Israelites were prosperous. They were given a land called Goshen, which is the greenest land in Egypt, and they become so rich, and you know, they become so big in Egypt, right? But a few generations later comes a generation that doesn't know who Joseph is. So all these Egyptians starting to feel, why is there a Israel people here that is richer than us? Why are they here? They're taking our land. They're richer than us. They probably control the political parties and things like that. And they're starting to realize, hey, let's not bow down to the Israelites and let's make them slaves. And that's how the Israelites become slaves in Egypt. Right? And that's life. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, right? One day you're up, few generations later, you're down. That's it, that's life. But God saw their people, saw his people, and feels, hey, why my people in Egypt cannot worship me anymore? And God wants his people to worship him. That's why on that day, if God had a phone, God called Moses, right? He dialed it. He dialed on the phone and say, hey, Moses. And I love Moses' answers that day. If you read on the Bible, Moses' answers was, here I am, Lord. Isn't it amazing? Here I am, Lord. He never speaks to God before, but when God called him, he say, here I am, Lord. I love it. Why? Because that should be our answers to God's calling anytime. When God commands us to do something, when God calls us, that should be our answers. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord means I'm open. I'm going to do it. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. That should be our answers when God calls us. And long story short, Moses takes the calling of God, take the Israelites, and God says, I want them to worship, and they cannot worship in Egypt, so I want you to bring them to the desert so they can worship me, right? So long story short, we know the story. The Lord used Moses, and Moses cut the sea and went across the Red Sea into the desert to go into the Promised Land. We know all that story, right? But what we don't know, most of us don't know, is actually, it was many of us feels, hey, that time, right? It took 40 years, right? It took 40 years for the Israelites to go to the Promised Land. They went around and around, and God intentionally made them to go around the desert, right? Most of the time, that's all we know. But if we read the Bible, we know that actually, it only takes a few weeks that the Israelites go out from the sea and directly into the border of the Promised Land in just a few weeks. Which is my point number one. My point number one is about moving forward, right? If we think God doesn't want us to move forward as quick as possible, as fast as possible, you are wrong. God wants every single one of us to move forward, to advance as fast as possible, as quick as possible, as easy as possible. Right? So Numbers chapter 13 is when Moses and the whole Israelites first time touched the border of the Promised Land. It wasn't 40 years. It's just a few weeks out of Egypt, directly into the Promised Land. Just a few weeks, right? So that's what we need to realize, that God wants every single one of us to move forward. Look, every single one of us wants to move forward, right? We're a baby. We want to grow fast. We become a teenager. We want to become an adult, right? An adult, we want to work. Work, we want to become supervisor. Supervisor, we want to become manager. Manager wants to become directors, right? We have a small business, we want to become a medium business. Medium business, we want to become a large business, right? We pray that we can become a good husband, right? I pray every single day I can become a good husband to my wife, and my wife prayed the same thing. He wants to become a good wife. We pray when our kids are small. I have four small kids. We pray every single day, how do we have the patience, for them, right? How do I teach them I have four kids, and every single one of them had different personality. And we just pray, how can we be better? Last night, I talked to my wife over dinner and say, are we doing good or what? You know? So, and then our kids become teenagers. I saw Pastor Isaacs have teenager's wife, right? A teenager's son and daughter, right? No. Wrong. Teenagers. And then, don't be, not an issue, eh? Not a gossip, right? But it's another challenge, right? It's another challenge, right? And then you become grandparents, and then another challenge. As a grandparent, you want your grandchildren to grow perfectly. You want your son and your daughter to have a good career. How do you support them, right? And then once you grow old and old, you're thinking, how do I go to heaven? How can I not become a... Every single one of us wants to move forward. Every single one of us wants to advance in our life. And that's what God is telling us today, that God wants it too. When you pray to God, I want to become a good husband, God says, yes, I want it too. When we pray to God, we want to grow in our career, God says, yes, I also want it too. When God says, when we pray that we want to become a good parent, God says, yes, I want you to become a good parent too. When we pray to God, hey, I'm in school, I'm in trouble, I want to become good in school, God says, son, daughter, I want it too. And I want it as fast as possible, as easy as possible, out of Egypt, directly into the promised land, as quick as possible. Just as you pray to me, I want it too. So that's point number one, that we might feel that God is making us go around and around and around, but no. If we read in the Bible, it was a highway. Out of Egypt into the promised land, it was a highway. God wants us to advance as soon as possible. And then point number two, so we see that Moses, when Moses and the Israelites touched the border of the promised land, Moses decided on the Numbers chapter 13 to send 12 spies. So Moses called all the tribes and says, hey, I have 12 tribes. I'm going to pick the strongest one of every tribe. Very, very politically correct, right? Because if I make decisions and then there are two tribes that didn't agree, then I'm going to be in trouble, right? So during that time, Moses say, why don't I pick the strongest in the 12 tribes each? And then if they say yes, then the tribes also will agree. So it was politically correct for Moses. And then it was so logical that if you want to attack a nation, we need to know what's inside. Is it mountains? Is there rivers inside? How's the weather? Is the weather cold? Is the weather... How's their soldiers? Are their soldiers big or small? Do they have horses? What do they have? Do they have what kind of weapons do they use? So it was logically correct. But if we learn later, we realize what is politically correct, what is logically correct, most of the time is not correct. Right? We see the world right now is teaching us a lot of things. Right? Very logical. Logically correct, politically correct. But you see young people these days, right? At my church, around my church, there are a lot of young kids, like teenagers or just above, just going to work, have a depression, right? They have mental health issue and things like that. Why? If it's logically correct, if it's politically correct, why is our youth not growing as strong as they're supposed to? Because we learn that politically correct and logically correct, sometimes, most of the time, they're not correct, right? So what happened is, my point number two is, I want to see their responses, right? So they spend 40 days inside the promised land, and they come back out. And there are two responses that Moses gets from them. The first response is from the majority of the people of the spies that he sent. See? Majority, most of the time, also not correct. Right? The majority says, cannot. We're going to lose. They're so big. We cannot handle them. So if we open up Numbers chapter 13, verse number 31, we can see their responses. They said, but the man who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seem like grasshoppers. Can you imagine? Grasshoppers in our own eyes. In our own eyes. And we look the same to them. If a man like us looks like a grasshopper, what would the soldier in the promised land would be like? Like 10-story building, right? It's impossible. There wasn't a people like that before. So what happened here is the 10 spies that went in, went out, and they failed because they're focused on their fear. And that's what happened if you focus on your fear. Your challenge will become bigger and bigger and bigger, and you feel like a grasshopper in your own eyes. You feel so small. The challenge so big, you feel so small. And you feel that you cannot do anything else. There's nothing I can do. The challenge so big. I cannot beat it. It's so big. I look like a grasshopper in my own mind, in my own eyes. That's what happens if we focus on fear most of the time, right? Many times at work is also the same thing. This year has been super challenging, right? Indonesian government is cutting budget, have a demonstration right now. We had 2 floods. We had, all things going on, right? But if we see the challenge is so big, then we become so small that we cannot do anything else. And most of the time it's like that, even in the family. Sometimes we don't have a good parents, right? And then we fear it so much, right? Oh, our parents used to be so tough on us. Then we have to be super nice to our children. Focus on their fear. Suddenly, we lost. We failed, right? There are people who failed in marriage before. Focus on their fear. Have a new marriage. Failed. Because they focus on their fear all the time. There are many people in businesses that failed. And their fear of failure haunt them, and whenever they go, they cannot make another business. Because they're so focused on the fear, I have failed before, I cannot do it anymore, nothing I can do. When we failed in our career, it's also the same thing. When we wanted to become a manager, a director, and then we failed, then we focus on that, we never go forward. So we're always there, we're always there again, we're always there. We feel stupid if we failed in our school before. We feel stupid and we just focus on that fear. Next thing you know, we failed everything. And that's what happened with response number one if we respond in fear. But what we want to focus is the other two that's successful to go into the promised land is Joshua and Caleb. And I want to see their responses. In Numbers chapter 14, hold on, yeah. Verse number 6, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelites assembly. This is what Caleb and Joshua said, right? The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If, this is the highlight, the response that we should have in our life, right? If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the Lord of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid with them. If the Lord is pleased with us. Church, right? This should be our response. If the Lord is pleased with us. Actually, it's very, very useless to send Joshua and Caleb, right? They go into the promised land as a spies, knowing they can win the war. What a waste of money, right? In my office, if I send people like Joshua and Caleb, it's a waste of money, right? If we send them out, come back, Joshua and Caleb, how's the people there? Oh, people are big. So what do you think? Oh, we can win it. Why? Because the Lord is pleased with us. Right? It's not logical. It's not politically correct. They don't care what they see. If the Lord is pleased with us, we will win the war. Right? It's useless to send them inside the promised land. But this is what it's supposed to be. And the answer is, if the Lord is pleased with us. The question is, how do we know what pleases the Lord if we don't pray, if we don't read the Bible, if we don't have alone time with the Lord, how do we know what pleases Him? Right? It's like Christian 101. We can only know what pleases the Lord if we have alone time with the Lord, if we pray, and if we read our Bible. But that should be our response to every challenges in our life. It's not about what you think. It's not about what is logical. It's not about what is politically, what is the majority thinking. No. If the Lord is pleased with us, we can do it. That should be the response every single time the challenges comes in our life, right? So anyway, we know that on that day, Moses proved himself to become a weak leader. He decided not to go into the promised land that day. Although later on, we can read that he actually attacked the promised land, but it wasn't in God's timing. But we know on that day, in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they decided to listen to the majority and they didn't attack. And the Lord was so angry. Which comes to my point number 3 about consequences, right? Number 1, we need to realize that if every single one of us here wants to move forward in advance in every single place that God trusted you, in the family, in your career, in the church, God wants it too. God wants you to move forward. God wants you to advance. That's number 1. Number 2 is about our response, right? When challenges come, have a right response. Do not focus on fear, but focus on what God pleased. And number three is about the consequences. From the consequences, we can learn in Numbers chapter 14, verse 26, it says, the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, how long will these wicked communities grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more, who has counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land. You will suffer for your sins and knows what it is like to have me against you. So the 40 years that we heard all the time was the consequences of the Israelites' response, right? And the 40 years is to cleanse, is to clean the Israelites' people from their sin, right? And many times we do feel that 40 years, right? I tell a story. 40 years in God's timing is probably like 1 minute, right? Like God says, 40 years, okay. God watched TV a little bit, look down. Oh, 20 years already, half died, right? He watched another TV, another minute. He looked down, okay, done, 40 years. Let's go in, right? And most of the time, we as a human being, we don't realize that, right? There are many churches in Indonesia, right? Not in Singapore, I hope, yeah? Not in Singapore, but Indonesia. There's a lot of churches that fight, the leadership fights. The church doesn't grow anymore because the leadership fights, right? The church shakes, and it feels like the fight is worth it because all their ego and pride, right? And I just see the Lord from up there, just watch them. Oh, fight. Fight for 40 years. It's fine. Go, go. You all have expiry date, right? Fight. Right? After you all expired, there comes a generation that doesn't have that pride and ego that you don't have. Then I will grow the church again. So most of the time, many of us feel so big while the Lord from the top says, you're nobody. If you don't stick with me, you are nobody. It's either you want to be used as my vehicle or you don't. It's up to you. Right? So many times, we feel that consequences in our life. Many times in our family, right? We feel our marriage is not going anywhere. Like in the wilderness, 40 years, no happiness. And God says, you know what? I want to clean something. But we're like, no, I don't want to be cleansed. God says, okay, let's go. 40 years. Let's do it. Right? Many times in our career is not going anywhere. 40 years. It feels like, oh, it's just going around. God says, I want to clean something in your life. And you say, no, I don't want to be cleansed. And God says, okay, 40 years. Let's go. Let's do it. You have expiry date. I don't. Let's see who wins. Right? Many times it's like that. There was one time, I'm going to share a story. I'm an entrepreneur, so I also manage a business, right? When COVID hits 2020, Who in here have a business, small or big or anything? Please raise your hand. No? Okay, few? Okay. When COVID hit, what do you think as a businessman, number one thought that comes to mind when COVID hit? What? Debt, right? How am I going to pay the interest? I'm going to die. I went straight to the bank and said, I'm not going to pay. The next interest due, I cannot pay. I need the cash flow for the business, at least for another 3 to 6 months. I don't know when is this COVID going to stop. The government closed all the cities, all the businesses and everything. And I'm like, man, this is going to be terrible. And it reminded me, era of 97, 98, in Indonesia, it was a very, very bad crisis. And it was similar. And it was very, very tough times. And I prayed to God, God, what's going on? And I remember during that day, God says to me, Aswin, you've been serving me for a while, but you don't have a good prayer life. God says that. Why don't you take this quiet time not to worry about your debt situation, but it's about your prayer life? Why don't you focus there? So I give it a little thought for a while. And then talk to Jacqueline. We make coffee every single morning. And I started to call some pastors, and 5 and 6 of us prayed every single day during the first 2 months of a COVID. And it keep going until now. So many times, I just want to share, many times, when God wants to cleanse us, it's not exactly in where you think it would be, right? Maybe our problem sometimes is in our financial state, right? But sometimes God wants to cleanse your marriage, right? Maybe sometimes our problems is in our work, but God wants to cleanse all the sin that you've been hidden from Him, that you think people don't know, that you hide away and you think nobody will know this sin. But God says, you know what? I want to clean that. Maybe the problem is many times, right? Even in the church doesn't grow. The leadership pray and pray and pray. And God says, hey, there's sin in your leadership that you need to wash away. Right? Many times in our family, we feels like, oh, this is feels like 40 years. And God says, I want to clean your spiritual life. Why don't you start praying? Why don't you start reading the Bible? Why don't you start serving in the church? We have to be able to humble to the Lord and says, God, what do you want to clean in my life? It's very important. Otherwise, these consequences are going to happen and you're going to lose. Right? So number one, we know that God wants us to move forward all the time. Number two is about our response. And number three is about the consequences. If you are feeling the consequences, ask God, what does he want to clean in our life? So anyway, few stories later, if we go to Joshua number 3. So they went around for 40 years, right? So God cleans the Israelites. We can read the whole story. And then there comes a time where the Israelites was about to go across the river. Well, we can read in Joshua 3, hold on, let me check. So there comes a time when finally the Israelites are going to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And when you were going to cross the river, you would think, if you're going to cross the river, what would you prepare? Boat, right? Rope, boat. I don't know. What else would you prepare? Huh? Bridge and all these things, right? But if we go to Joshua 3, before they went across the river, what is amazing, God doesn't ask them to do all these things. All the challenges that we have, right? If God wants to take care of it, it's so simple. Right? All our problems, the way that you never think it will happen, can happen. If God wants to finish up your problem, your challenges, it's so easy. And you think, when you're about to cross a river, logically, you would need a boat, you would need a bridge, you would da-da-da-da-da. But in Joshua 3, verse number 5, before they cross the river, the message was, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Isn't it amazing? Crossing the river. Many times when we have problems, we have challenges, right? Most of the time we feel, oh, the solution must be there. I must work harder, must be smarter. Oh, this and that. We try to. But the Lord says, hey, consecrate yourself. Make yourself holy. Wash away all your sin. I want to cleanse you. Your problems, right? I can take care. I can take care of it easier than you. One day I talked to my pastor. I said, Pastor, every time I fly, I start thinking, what if this airplane falls? Right? I have 4 kids. I have a wife. Who's going to take care of them? Right? Every time, these days, when you go into airplanes, they do shakes a lot, you know? The weather, the global warming, I don't know what happened. It shakes. And it's like testing your faith, right? And the pastor says to me, what? Do you think the Lord cannot take care of your family better than you or what? Is that the faith that you have? And it got me thinking, you know, any problem that we have, everything challenges that we face, God can take care of it better than us. So this morning, I want us to really, really understand that God wants every single one to move forward. But it's about our response, right? Our response is we have to pray to God and say, what pleases you, Lord? I don't care about what people say. I don't care about what majority says. I don't care about what politically correct. I don't care about what around people likes me or not. But what pleases you? It's about our response. And if you're feeling the consequences today, you're living unhappy, family, marriage, work life, talk to him. Say to him, ask him, God, is there anything in my life that you want to clean? Right? What do you want me to do? And have a response just like Moses. Here I am, Lord. Have that response. Have a humble heart and say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to do whatever you tell me to do. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord, we come to you before you today. Let's have 2 to 3 minutes. Let's surrender all the challenges that we face. Surrender your family, your study, your work to the Lord. Say to the Lord, this is me. God, I want to move forward. Ask Him, what do you want to cleanse in my life, Jesus? What aspects in my life still not pleasing you? Let's take 2 to 3 minutes to really, really pray and ask Him. Lord, this is us. Nothing is hidden from you. Thank you for your word of God. We pray that your Holy Spirit strengthen us. We pray that your Holy Spirit guide every single step that we take. And if there is anything that unpleases us, let your Holy Spirit also correct it. Jesus, we open our heart and we believe the word of God today will fall on the good soil. Let every single one of us be blessed and be blessings to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.